This podcast replay is brought to you by HialeahParkCasino.com. From the loosest slots in the state to one of the most comfortable poker rooms in South Florida, enjoy their smoke-free casino at HialeahParkCasino.com.
For, I think it was five seasons for the University of Miami before transferring to Colorado State, where he had two really solid seasons over with that staff there. And you want to know what? I'm pretty pissed off after talking to Scott, because, you know, some things were revealed. If you missed it, I'm sure this show will be on Big O's YouTube page. And, you know, as soon as we're done, or a couple minutes after we're done in podcast form, go ahead and listen to that segment, because he dropped some nuggets, you know, without throwing people under the bus. And it was just, you know, talking about the last regime. And the only reason I brought it up is because he threw that bone out there and I said, I got it. Like, there's my, you know, because I wasn't going to ask him about it. But, you know, just about, he talked about, well, I think the quote was, what he said is, I know a lot about that culture. And that just triggered something. Well, I'm going to ask him about it. And so go ahead and listen to that. That's a guy that if you weren't rooting for him, or if you were trashing him, you just didn't know what the hell you were talking about, because the dude was solid. Okay, the dude was a solid player, and I'm going to go ahead and say he was more than solid. I think he was above average because of the simple fact that he did his job, and that's something right now that Miami's not getting. Miami's not getting guys that are not across the board that are doing their job, whether it's mental lapses, whatever the case is, because if everybody was doing their job to the best of their ability, they would not be 2-2, all right? At worst, they'd be 3-1, okay? As a matter of fact, they could be 4-0. Miami could be 4-0 right now. Miami should be 4-0 right now. The only team, in my opinion, that really beat Miami was Middle Tennessee State. I'm calling it like it is. Texas A&M didn't beat Miami. Texas A&M did not beat Miami. Miami can go out on the field right now, finish that A&M game if it was on Saturday, because Miami had their number on both sides of the ball, all right? And again, I bring up the box score, but the box scores don't always tell the story. If you watched that game, Miami did whatever the hell they wanted to do on both sides of the ball. They couldn't run. Texas A&M couldn't run the ball. They couldn't throw the ball. And Max Johnson, thank God that Jimbo decided to make that substitution, but he looked like a deer in the headlights most of the night, okay? But I said that to say, I think I'm a little bit calmer now. You know, it was a great interview. Thanks for calling in, Scott. But, you know, on to UNC, and, you know, they're bringing in an offense that, oh, my God. Like, oh, my God. We got to talk about that, because – I don't know if you guys remember, but that same Texas A&M team that went into Kyle Field and beat, I'm going to go ahead and say it, beat the brakes off of Texas A&M, all right? UNC played that same exact Appalachian State team and almost lost. 63-61, their second game of the season, okay? They went into Appalachian State, all right, which is, I don't know how far away it is from Chapel Hill, but a nice, you know, in-state rivalry. You know, or maybe should be. This is a team that I think should probably join the ACC, because Appalachian State, they've shown that they can go into, you know, venues and nothing phases them. Really, really good coaching. Frank Sponce was there, you know, for a little bit. But they won 63-61. The week prior, week one of college football, UNC beat Florida A&M at home. Looked very shaky. Don't let the 56-24 score fool you, because in the third quarter, that was a one-score game. I was watching that game. All right. So this UNC team is a team that clearly is putting up points, but, you know, they've shown to not look their best against Florida A&M first game of the season. They definitely didn't look their best defensively against Appalachian State on the road, 63-61. They definitely didn't look their best the very next week at Georgia State, winning 35-28. All right. They lose at home to Notre Dame. They go in there and beat Virginia Tech, which everybody's doing nowadays, because Virginia Tech looks a god-awful, okay, 41-10. This team puts up points, and they do it in the air, all right? Last time that UNC was down here, 2020, a day after my graduation, they are still running for touchdowns on Miami's defense, on Manny Diaz's defense, okay? So they ran the rock like hell in that game, I think to the tune of like 500-something yards on the ground, all right? And so, you know, like I said, they're doing it in the air right now, and their quarterback is a big reason for that. Let's talk about him, because Drake May, if I'm not mistaken. Hold on, wait a minute. I got it right. Yeah, Drake May, big kid, 6'4", 220, freshman from North Carolina. He's doing his thing. He's doing his thing, and let me tell you something. 19 touchdowns to one interception. Doesn't sound like he's going to make many mistakes, guys. Doesn't sound like he's going to make many mistakes. And you want to know what? For a secondary that really, really has struggled, and I'm not just talking about the Middle Tennessee State game, struggled because, you know, you look hot, you look cold, you look hot, you look cold. A good team, a good secondary, an experienced secondary is going to look good across the board, right? His QBR right now is, and not just across the board, but consistently. That's what makes a good team. You can have all the talent in the world. Are you consistent with it? And that's what Miami's learning how to do right now. And I get it. There's some injuries that they're dealing with, what have you. But what I'm looking for this week is if there are any personnel changes, and mind you, it doesn't have to be starting lineup, okay, whoever starts out there, because it's really more about who gets the most snaps throughout a game. Starting doesn't really – it doesn't matter. It's like basketball. Do you want to start or do you want to finish the game, right? So I said that to say what? Oh, okay. Yeah, 19 touchdowns, one interception. Is Mario going to pull the plug on guys that maybe are holding their weight? And look, this is not just a situation, just a game where TVD is going to have all eyes on him, right? And to me, if he's not himself, all right, I'm giving him a two, maybe three series leash at best, because this is a game that you cannot afford to fall behind. You can't, right? Miami doesn't look like they play their best ball from behind so far. I know it's only four games into this era, into the Mario Cristobal era, but still. Like, you don't want to put your guys behind the eight ball knowing that they have a new offense, knowing that they're struggling and, you know, with whatever it is, picking up blocks on the O-line. But I'm talking about pulling a leash on guys across the board defensively, all right? You guys already know how I feel about Corey Flagg. I love him, and I'm not one of these guys bashing him, but I don't love him on third and obvious passing downs. That's the only thing. It's the only thing. And that's okay. That doesn't make him a bad football player. It doesn't make him a bad linebacker if there's other players on the team that do that better than you. That's okay. I'm sure he doesn't mind getting off the field if it's better for the team on third and whatever the case was, 12, 15, because Miami is first and second down all-stars. And then they get the third down. It's like, what the hell happened? You know what I mean? Like, come on. So this guy, Drake May, ladies and gentlemen, 1,594 yards so far in the season. Good for six in all of college football. His 19 touchdowns are tied for first. again, one interception on the season and a 90.6 QBR. So, listen, 4 o'clock, I don't know what the weather's going to be looking like, but Miami has to be on their P's and Q's, okay? They really got to – I'm wondering what Steele is going to cook up. I'm wondering what Steele is going to cook up because if you guys remember, when he was coaching over at Auburn, when LSU had that crazy season in 2019, which a lot of people like to call the greatest football team of all time, and this is crazy. Maybe they had the best season of all time, and that's different from having the best team of all time. I could give you that. You know, he had great numbers and everything. But that season where, you know, LSU was tearing it up offensively, Steele went in there into Death Valley. Okay, it wasn't a night game. But they still went into Death Valley. And he had, like, it seemed like he was rushing three guys the entire game. Gave him fits. So this is a guy, and credit to Steele, because in that Monday press conference, he said, look, whatever didn't look right, okay, don't come at the players. It's all 100% on me. And my fault for not having the audio, because Sean and Chad would have played it for you guys. But his press conference was awesome on Monday. He was like, look, don't point anywhere. Me. Preparation. Me, this, me. So he's falling on the sword for his players, which is great and admirable to see. But we all know that it's not just all on coaching. We all know that there's guys that have mental lapses, and I commend him for that. But this is a guy, it feels like to me that, you know, these players, you know, they're letting these coaches down. They're making them look bad, okay? You know, sometimes a linebacker plays is making Charlie Strong look like a bad linebacker's coach, and that's not the case. Kevin Steele's a linebacker's guy. Sometimes they're making him look like a bad linebacker's guy, and that's not the case. Jason Taylor's coaching your defensive ends, all right? You know, and you know that sometimes that unit isn't getting home. That's probably the most consistent unit, the D-line across the board that Miami has all season. But still, you want to see – my point is consistency, all right, on both sides of the ball. And Miami is building to that. You heard what Scott said in terms of what Miami's got to do to probably, you know, get back on track, run the ball. And I think that's going to be huge in this game. Why? Because you got to control the clock against a team that is putting up 19 – against a quarterback that's putting up 19 touchdowns. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to go back and go ahead and remind you – their season low in terms of scoring was 35 points, and that was on the road. I get it. It's Georgia State. But still, 56, 63, 35, 45, and 41, okay? I'm sorry, 32. They put up 32 points against Notre Dame at home. they're going to put up points. And if Miami doesn't show up, they're going to get boat raced again. And these aren't – look, it's hurting me to say these things, but I got to keep it real with you guys, right? And, you know, so we all saw what DJ Ivy did versus Texas A&M. Awesome. Fell off versus MTSU. I don't care at this point, at any position, I don't care what the depth looks like. If the number one, the number two guys aren't getting it right, you got to go ahead and put the guys in, even if they're not ready behind them. Just, number one, to send a message, and number two, to see what you got. Because they may surprise you. Some guys are gamers. Look at Brock Berlin. The guy's a gamer, right? The guy was a gamer. And say what you want about Brock, he's good in my book, undefeated against FSU and the Gators. So, you know, say what you want about him. But some guys are just gamers, and you know, you don't know what you have until you know what you have, right? So that's that about the UNC game. I don't really have any much else to say in terms of that. But what I do have something to say about is I want to go ahead and talk about really quick Thad Franklin. I'm going to ask the guys to pull up a clip really, really quick, because this is something that I wanted to mention in the first segment of the show before Scott joined us. I was talking about depth. I was talking about Henry Parrish. His status is up in the air, you know, to say something without saying much. We all know Rooster, with a guy who runs the ball like he does, having a soft tissue injury, that hamstring, that's a lingering injury. It's a lot like a high ankle sprain. It sucks, okay, for a guy as twitchy as he is, and you got to take your time with it. So if you're looking at it, Miami has one scholarship running back available for the game, right? Thad Franklin. And then Lucius Stengel, like I said, the running back from UAB. But here's the audio on Coach Mario talking about Thad and his preparation and how ready he needs to be for UNC. Check it out.
Yeah. No, we feel confident that he can, and we got to impress that upon him and make sure that he fully understands that. I think he wants to do that. I think he's learning more and more, and he's growing in that role. So he's a guy that has gained our trust, and he's going to have the trust of all his teammates with the way we're pushing him to practice and make sure he understands every bit of it, because it's not just running the football, right? It's protections, it's blocking, it's all that stuff. So Thad has certainly come a long way, and we expect that his best football is still ahead of him.
The guy's built like a workhorse running back. He's going to have to play like one. He's honestly going to have to play like one, because you see him, 6 foot at best, 230 plus pounds. I think he's pushing like 240. The guy's a load. The guy is a load, and he is talented. Can run between the tackles, shifty enough. I like how he can move, you know, inside the tackles. But don't let his ability to maybe break one, you know, outside off tackle fool you, because he can move. He can run you over, through you, or around you, and probably has that Frank Gore sneaky speed. All right, I'm not comparing to Frank Gore at all, but I am in the sense of sneaky speed. He doesn't look like the type of guy that's gonna go ahead and blow you blow you out the water with his speed. But Lucius Stanley, expect to see a lot of him, because of the fact that we don't know, assuming Parrish, who's been Miami's most consistent offensive threat this year, doesn't play, which is gonna suck. That guy runs hard. Expect to see a lot of Thad, and there's a lot of people out there that have been waiting to see that, because he can handle the load. Remember last year when Miami was giving the ball like 30 plus times a game? Not 30 plus times a game, but 30 plus carries to Rooster against Georgia Tech. I thought they were going to break him, because he's not built for that. He felt fine after the game. And of course, you know, young guy, he's going to feel fine. But a guy that size isn't meant to carry the ball as much as he did on that night, right? So my formula for the game on Saturday is easy. Get the hell off the field on third downs, okay? Because you cannot give this offense more opportunities than what you've given them, all right? If you have a third down on this team, get the hell off the field now. You got to do it. And I'm going to be really pissed off if it's third and obvious and we are seeing the same guys out there making mistakes. That's what's going to piss me off. And then I'm going to have to get into another topic next week that I don't want to get into, because I believe in this staff, right? But what we also have to get into before we go away is the three McCoys. And for those of you that are maybe just now tuning in for the first time, or, you know, don't remember what it was, this is Chad, O's, and Sean's idea of kind of giving the last week's All-Stars, or who I think were MVPs. It doesn't have to be Miami Hurricanes. It could be anybody across college football. So we're going to go ahead and reveal who those three McCoys are right now.
We're holstered and ready to unleash. This week's Real McCoys. Time to hand out awards for this week's MVPs for the Miami Hurricanes. The Real McCoys.
All right. It's going to be pretty simple, straightforward, and to the point, right? Saw a lot of college football last week, more than I do with Hurricane when the Hurricanes are playing, because let's be honest, I'm really only paying attention to one game when they're playing. So you miss out flipping back and forth, flipping back and forth, flipping back and forth. But for the third place, Real McCoy, all right, a guy that transferred from Indiana in a losing effort, quarterback transferred over to Washington, all right, and led a valiant effort, a valiant comeback, because they were down by, I want to say, 3 scores. I was at the gym watching the game. Michael Penix Jr., quarterback that transferred over from Indiana, a Tampa, Florida guy, plays a lot bigger than what, because he doesn't, in my opinion, he looks like a smaller-ish type of quarterback on the field, all right? But you look at him, you look him up, 6'3", 214. I'm going to go ahead and give him the third place, Real McCoy. On the season, 16 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Seamless transition over to Washington. He played a really good game. Washington came back. They did lose last week. But I just liked how that never die mentality. All right. They were ranked 15th at the time that they went into UCLA and lost. That was an undefeated matchup at the time. Both teams were 4-0. Now UCLA 5-0, 2-0 in the Pac-12, and Washington has that lone loss on the road. But Michael Penix, Real McCoy, number 3.
Real McCoy.
The second one is easy for me because this is a game that I was watching. This was a later, was it a later game? I can't remember if the lights were on in my house or not, but that Georgia-Missouri game, man. Oh my God. I mean, am I the only one that roots for underdogs? Really? I don't think so. I love to see upsets. All right. And I like to see, you know, David beat Goliath, and that would have totally been the case because Missouri had this game. They really had the game. But as a team, a complete total team effort, again, in a losing loss, but I like the effort. I like the effort. The Missouri Tigers at home, barely losing to the defending champion Georgia Bulldogs 26-22. But they get Real McCoy number 2 because they had Georgia scared. They had Georgia on the ropes. And you want to know what I hate? I hate that every coach, whenever they get a chance, they throw in their face. You know, because they asked Kirby Smart after the game, oh, you know, what do you think about the effort in the game today? Well, you know, the SEC is a tough place to play. I'm shut up. But any event, Missouri Tigers, Real McCoy number 2.
Real McCoy. Real McCoy.
And last but not least, all right, Real McCoy number 3. This one was kind of, I don't know what word to use. But I'll go ahead and say, I was excited about it because I'm a Mike Leach fan. And the best thing that I saw throughout that Mississippi State Texas A&M game, in which Mississippi State went into, again, Kyle Field, and they beat Texas A&M, beat the brakes off them 42-24, by the way. Mississippi State's now 4-1. Okay. Texas A&M is 3-2. Jimbo, what the hell's going on? You know what I saw? I saw an article talking about Urban Meyer maybe replacing Jimbo if he gets the boot. Oh, my God. People just don't learn. And shame on you if you're one of these Miami fans that were talking about hoping to get Urban Meyer, you know, if and when the opportunity presented itself. Are you dumb? Like, what the hell's wrong with you? Did you want Miami to go win a national championship and then go on probation for 3 years after that because of what it took to win a national championship? The hell's wrong with you? No, that guy would be terrible for the program. Miami already is in a fishbowl, but that's my Urban Meyer soapbox. But in any event, Mike Leach gets the Real McCoy number 1, not because of leading his team to victory, but because of the interview he had with one of the sideline reporters. I don't know if it was after the game or going into the half. So the sideline reporter that interviewed Mike Leach, and again, my fault for not having the audio, but I actually was just doing this on the fly. Believe it or not, the Real McCoy, I was doing it on the fly thinking about it. But he was asked by the sideline reporter, because she's getting married, and if she had any advice for her husband. And, you know, he told her, he was like, go elope. And if you don't elope, you know, he asked her for her fiance's name, what he does for a living. He's in sports. He told her to tell her fiance to give him a call, and he'll give him some advice. He's like, if he doesn't elope, he's making a huge mistake and this and that. Go watch the interview. It's funny. Just pull up Mike Leach interview, Texas A&M, you know, sideline reporter, whatever keywords you want to put in there on YouTube. It'll come up. That guy's great. They call him a pirate for I don't know why they call him that, but the dude is hilarious. He's funny. And that's a guy that I'd want to play for, not just because his offense is fun, but he's you want to, I don't know, something about football coaches. I think they got to have some screws loose. I think it's kind of like being a police officer. You got to be kind of up there to kind of risk your life and not knowing what to expect when you leave your house for duty for 8 hours. Same thing for football coaches. Something's got to be wrong with them. And there's something got to be wrong with guys that could talk for an hour straight. If you're a radio show host, right? And let's say you didn't have any guests, because I've had shows in the past that didn't have guests and I'm talking for 2 hours because that's the time that I'm used to for being on air. So I'll throw myself in the boat. I think I got to be pretty crazy to hold a conversation with myself and just keep rambling and rambling and rambling, which is why I'm going to let you guys go, because it is 9:10 p.m. I got to get to the gym just like Scott. And again, I appreciate you, Scott, for coming on in the show and joining us. So next week, we're going to have somebody else different. I think I kind of have a narrowed down as to who it is. I'm going to go ahead and reveal it till, a little closer to showtime. But guys, if you have a chance to make it to the game on this Saturday, 4 o'clock, go ahead and support the boys because they need it. They're going to need it. Or if you're in the area, head out to walk-ons, come by, say hi to the crew. Chad, Sean, and myself will be there 2 hours before kickoff for the pregame show. And then as soon as the clock strikes zero, we will be there to bring you post-game coverage until we don't have anything else to talk about. Hopefully it's a win. Until then, guys, stay safe. Go Canes, and I'll see you next week.
I know you have strong thoughts on weddings. I'm in the middle of planning one right now. Do you have any advice for me?
Who are you marrying?
His name is Trevor.
Okay, yeah, well, I'll have to just set up a meeting and I'll talk to him. Okay, so where's Trevor from?
He's from Florida.
What does Trevor do for a living?
He works in sports as well, covers football.
He does what?
He covers football as well.
Really? Well, I don't know. We'll keep a close eye on it, but whatever you and Trevor decide, I would kind of keep it on the down low, which you failed to do that. Trevor was probably planning to, but you didn't. So go ahead and don't say anything else about it, but as soon as the season's over, or even an off week, go elope. Trust me on that. Go elope. Because basically every female in the family is going to terrorize you guys until it's over. Once it's over, I mean, they'll be upset for a few days, but it'll be over. And then, you cruise away, along, have a happy marriage, have a happy life.
I'll pass along the message. Thanks, Coach. Congrats on the win.
Trevor, unless he's crazy, is totally on my side. And trust me on this. If Trevor doesn't have the sense to do that, tell him to call me, because, I mean, he needs to do I've told all my kids, I'll give you $10,000 extra if you elope. So far, they haven't done it, but I would, too.
I'll have him call you for sure.
Real McCoy. Real.